We're so glad you're here. I'm Pastor Rob Danz. This is my beautiful wife, Jennifer, and we just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. If this is your first time streaming with us, we want to welcome you to the experience of Antioch Community Church here in Wichita. I would love for you to get more information about us. Check us out on our website, and we just want you to know that we're praying for you. We love you. We don't feel like it's an accident that you came upon us today, and so we are so honored for you're here, the rest of our family here this morning. Hello. I pray that all of our mamas are having a sweet Mother's Day, and that you'll be blessed today with some rest. This is the first Mother's Day ever in the coronavirus season, so I think that's a little interesting journey. But yeah, we just pray that you're blessed today. And so with that, speaking of blessing, today I have the huge honor of doing this with my wife. And this is my wife, Jen, of 22, going on 23 years. We got five babies together. We have been through some super amazing times with Jesus and some horrific times on earth with Jesus and in our flesh. And so God has used us as just a story of restoration. And a lot of that story comes through my wife. And so just so I can dote on my wife a little bit, she is my favorite human. I literally think she is the most beautiful girl on the face of the earth. I couldn't do anything without her. I wouldn't be here. The church wouldn't be here without her. She's an amazing mama, amazing wife, and she's really the embodiment of restoration. And just to know her journey, that just what she's come through and what we've come through together and how she has come so far with Jesus is pretty overwhelming. And you'll hear some of that today. And so this is my favorite human, she whom I love on this earth more than anything. And so welcome, Jen Danz.
Hi.
Jen loves doing this stuff, by the way. So she's growing into it more and more. So just give us a little 2 cents about you. Give us a short description of all your kiddos.
Okay. Well, so we have five kids. We have Kale. He's our oldest. And I would say that he is very fun-loving, very yet responsible. He's our firstborn, so he's had to carry a lot of responsibility, taking care of his brothers and sisters. But he's also very caring and prophetic and just an awesome man of God. And then Noah is our secondborn, and he is just fierce and loving, sensitive, and prophetic. He also too is a peacemaker, and just super proud of him too. And then we have Alyssa, our middle child. She's amazing. She is kind, loving. She's an amazing organizer and just super creative. Yeah, and just has a huge heart for people.
And she's cute.
And very cute. Aiden, our baby boy of the group, is, although he's a teenager and he's taller than I am now, so he is he has such a loving heart. He is super creative. He loves he's funny. He has a love for life, and yeah, he's just incredibly kind-hearted. And then our baby girl, our little one, the princess Naomi, she is just full of joy. She is not shy to share her emotions or her thoughts with you. She's very good at communicating, and super kind, super generous.
So do you agree with the statement that every kid is different and need to be dealt with parentally in a different way?
Yeah, every child has a their own bent and their own way of looking at life and how they receive correction, how they give love, how they receive love. And so, yeah, I would say every child is more or less different in some ways.
That's awesome. I double what she says. So our purpose this morning is, if you know me, I'm not usually about cheesy Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. We usually come from the side of life where, you know, we talk about the real reality of things. And so this morning, our purpose is to honor moms and to have an open and honest conversation about being a mom when you're not perfect. And I think my wife's amazing, but she's not perfect. And God knows I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Perfection isn't our bar. Perfection is something in our own we can't attain. Right. But through the Holy Spirit, even for those of us who've come through tons of just disaster, you know, whether it be broken homes and families or abuse or addictions, whatever it is, it is possible in Christ Jesus to become not only a man or woman of God, but a mom and dad of God. And so I believe that Jen is a huge embodiment of that, seen a huge just change and growth in her over the years. And so our job this morning is we just want to encourage you, if you are one of the people on the face of the earth that feel like, I am screwing this up. Mm-hmm. We have done so much damage. It's irreversible. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to discipline. I don't know how. Let me tell you, just want you to be encouraged in Jesus' name. Ladies, you can be a mama after his heart. And it starts with a lot of grace for yourself and his yeah. purpose. And so, Jen, speaking about Jesus, which is our focus and the center point of our life and our mm-hmm. our heart, how important has faith been in Jesus in your journey as a mom?
Yeah, it's the ultimate importance in my life and in my role as a mom. I would fail miserably and did with miserably without him. Whenever I tried to parent on my own, whenever I've tried to do anything on my own, it's only through Christ that I have the strength and the confidence to be the mom that I need to be. He shows me what grace is and love is and mercy and forgiveness. And that's the only way I'm able to give that away, especially to our kids, because we live with them and when you live with somebody, there's always some kind of conflict at some point or another. There's always some kind of tension at some point or another. And to be able to walk through that with Jesus being my example, instead of me just trying to figure it out on my own, has empowered me to love on our kids in somewhat of a way that they need to be loved on.
It's awesome. I think we've talked about it in the past, but you can probably through in your faith and putting on a good show, you can con a lot of people.
Sure.
The people that you cannot con are your kids.
Right. They see you day in, day out. They see you at church and at home. They see you out in public and in private. And so, yeah, you cannot hide from them. Hmm.
So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with your kids seeing you at your worst, probably, mm-hmm. and how do you just approach that from a standpoint? You know, a lot of people want to, they can be confrontational about it. They can avoid conversation about it. They can have a kid shut up and listen, sit in the corner kind of thing. So what would you say is the best policy when dealing with kids seeing you being busted?
Yeah, I think the best thing is to have open conversations with them, open dialogue about how you're not perfect, that you're trying to follow Jesus and strive for holiness, but in that you fail, and to be quick to admit when you failed them and when you've sinned against them, and ask for forgiveness from your children. That can be incredibly humbling. That's a big pride killer, but it's necessary sometimes to just let them know that you love them and you respect them, and you see them through the eyes of Christ, and that you don't want to treat them like they're an inconvenience or that they're some hassle, but that they're created in the image of God, and that you want to love them the way that he does.
Yeah, it's so good. That's good. Yeah, our vulnerability is a pretty good tool. I think that we found over the years, we've had to have some super hard conversations with our kids and did not look forward to going into them.
Right.
But when we shared our heart through the lens of not just sharing our heart to dish out our junk,
right.
but sharing our heart, like if we're wrong about something, I'm sorry, this doesn't honor Jesus.
Yeah.
And, on my end, this probably should have happened a lot more often, but I've seen you really grow into that. So it's pretty awesome. And so can you just share a little background about your growing up and some obstacles that you had throughout your life until now, which kind of made it difficult to be an out of the box perfect mom?
Oh, well, yeah, I am just a little bit about myself. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents were loving and good people, but we didn't have Jesus as the center of our home growing up. And so that was a huge struggle whenever I became a parent and wanted to pour that into my kids, not knowing exactly what that would look like day in, day out. And I was sexually abused as a young child. And so that has caused some hardships in my life that have carried over into a parent, as far as that I just I'm uber protective over our kids, and maybe they didn't get it going as many slumber parties as they wanted to or whatever like that, but it's because we were trying to be protective of our kids in that way. But with that, came some conversations of, you know, open conversations about what's healthy and what's not when it comes to things like that. And then in my later teen years, early 20s, I started to manifest some bipolar symptoms, and we dealt with that in our marriage for a good 10 years before that was ever really diagnosed. And so when so the kids dealt with a lot of that, especially the older four dealt with a lot of the repercussions of my bipolar symptoms in our home, which was really hard on them. But that too gave me the ability to go to them, ask for forgiveness, you know, repent and just seek God and all of that. He's the stronghold and all that. He's the tower of refuge that I'd always go to. yeah, it's hard, but he's good and he's faithful and he always has been. And so our biggest thing has been prayer. I've prayed for our kids since the moment I knew how, and God has been faithful through that. My little mustard seed of faith has blossomed into amazing things, amazing faith, amazing just the amazing people that my children are turning out to be.
Yeah, well, and so we know that Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think that we experienced at the beginning, we were pretty overwhelmed with that phrase, train up a child in the way he should go, and he should go. And, you know, for me, I didn't have a strong dad influence. My family was kind of a hot mess, love and honor my mom and dad. They're great people, but, you know, parenting thing was rough sometimes, and you kind of went through some busted things. And so how do you even, when you start from nothing, how do you look in the scriptures? You're a new parent, maybe you're a new believer, and you're like, man, I want to train up my babies in the way they should go, but you don't have it. How do you do that from point zero? And you can't really look back, and you already said some of this, but you can't really look back and go, oh, I can do it just like so-and-so. Like, where do you start?
Right. I think the word, you know, just getting into your word, knowing what scripture tells you, trusting God through that, letting him grow you through that. Because if you don't know who Christ is and who the Father is and how you can look to him as the ultimate example, you're not going to succeed. And so, yeah, just a lot of faith and trust in the Lord, even that whatever you can muster up that much faith. And then two, just prayer. Praying for our kids has just been such a huge blessing to see how God has answered in so many creative and amazing ways.
I remember when we first started the journey of being parents, and we would have horrible days still dealing with undiagnosed bipolar, and, you know, I'm dealing with anxiety, and you know, we're at each other's throats, kind of a violent home, and we were believers, and we felt even more guilty as believers because we were Christians now, and we were still being horrible parents. And I remember the one thing that we started to institute first off was, no matter how horrible the day was, we would pray every night, and we would pray some specific things. And one of our biggest prayers with our kids that we talk about quite a bit was, we would pray every night, Jen and I, Jesus, would you take every hard and negative and ungodly thing that doesn't honor you today and wipe that out of the minds of our kids?
Yeah.
And we can attest to, would you agree that he did that in a lot of ways?
Yeah. He's protected them from so much that damage that we could have caused. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He stepped in big time.
That's amazing. So we, in our ministry over the last 15 years, we have not only dealt with ourselves, but we've dealt with a lot of people who come from very similar backgrounds to us. And then they come into this, into knowing Jesus, either being older and feeling like they totally failed with their oldest kids and there's no going back, or they're in the middle of it and they've been screwing up. I mean, we've seen people that have been abusive to each other, and drug addicts, and people dealing with mental illness, just a lot of our own story. And so, what are the obstacles, like, you know, the obstacles and the victories, you know, I kind of talk about a little bit, like being sexually abused and having, you know, dealing with bipolar and unstable family and all these kind of things. What are some things that as a believer you should start to put in your mind? Like, you know, we put on the armor of Christ and we need to be aware, right, of things that might trigger us and how we might, what are some things that we need to set up and see as obstacles, and what are some things that we can have and do in victory?
Yeah, I think a big thing with that that is that realizing that our battle is not against flesh and blood. So our battle is not against our children or our exes or our husband or whatever it might be. Our battle is against the spiritual realm, you know. And so just praying, I mean, again, I'm keep harping on that, but praying is just so important. That's the biggest weapon we have, is knowing who we are in Christ, standing on that, and just praying for our children, knowing who they can be in Christ, and calling out the things that God has for them, you know. Just if you see a strong-willed child, then call out the leadership qualities in that child, you know, and things like that. Just ask God to give you eyes to see the situation the way He sees it, and trust Him in the meantime, you know. We're not at battle with flesh and blood. We're at battle with the spirits, you know, the evil spirits around us. But we have the Holy Spirit in us to fight that, and we have the Word of God to stand on, and we have Jesus holding our hand the whole time. And so we're in good shape. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is out of God's control, and we can trust Him wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I agree. And I think knowing that, you know, if you come from brokenness, I think a lot of times when church, we get caught up in comparison. Mm-hmm. So we'll see the Leave It to Beaver family, and they've got their kids that are doing everything well. You know, at home, your world is not like that. And by the way, their world is probably not anything like that either. Would you agree with that? And so, you know, but I just think knowing your triggers, like, you know, for us, we went through this parenting lapse. And so when we started to be disciplinarians, we over-disciplined because we essentially didn't want our kids to do what we did, or we didn't want them, you know what I mean? We had a really high bar, and sometimes I remember we'd have to have a conversation like, is he sinning, or is he just making a mistake? And there's a difference in those things. And I would realize myself, and I think both of us caught ourselves later going, oh, they're not sinning against me. They're being a person trying to figure out who they are and how to deal with this flesh that they have. And so, that's good. And so is anybody, no matter what they've done and where they've been, disqualified from having restoration in their parenting?
Absolutely not. I mean, I just think of the relationship with my own daughter, my older daughter. I just was really hard on her, and we had a very difficult relationship growing as she grew up and as I grew up as a parent and all of that. And I thought at one point that things were beyond repair, but with prayer and with repentance and with just seeking God's face, God has completely 180'd that relationship. And it's amazing to see. It's so beautiful, that the things that He can take from ashes, you know, and turn into beauty. And so we have a good relationship now, and we can talk, and we can love on each other and laugh, and it's just beautiful. So yeah, no, nothing is too far gone. No relationship is beyond repair, and nothing's impossible with God.
Would you, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think we've also had this conversation that, and we know through Scripture that God uses the hardest things that we go through to build character, to build us into the image of Jesus, you know, Romans 8:28 and 1 Peter 5:10, these different places where, you know, suffering is for a little while, but God restores. And so would you agree with the statement that some of the stuff, not the stuff we went through, but how God brought us out of it, honestly ended up making our kids stronger and deepening their faith, and actually kind of, they didn't have this glass world that got shattered. They knew that life was tough, literally their whole upbringing. Would you say that it's maybe grounded them or matured them in a way that couldn't happen any other way?
Yeah, like you said, God uses all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, and that includes our children. And so they, our children, and it just because I know them and I know our story, they are stronger, and they are bolder, and they are firmer in their faith because of what they've been through. And so are we as individuals, you know, the things that we've been through has strengthened us and empowered us to walk stronger for the Lord.
Yeah, so good. That's really good. So hope you guys are encouraged by that, that even if, you know, you're a new parent, a whole parent in the middle of the journey, and God really does use all the broken things. And transparency, talk about for just a minute, how important is transparency with your kids? Like so for instance, we had huge stuff in our past that at one time we didn't know if we wanted to share everything with our kids, and we didn't for years about your abuse and stuff in our marriage and all these things. And so years later, Jen really got convicted and we sat down and talked like, we really need to share this, but what happens if we totally lay out our full fleece of vulnerability in front of our kids? And, you know, and God used that. So what would you say about how important is it to be vulnerable and open and transparent with your kids?
I think when you try to hide things from your kids, they'll figure it out. They're very smart, but they're also very resilient. I think the more that you can be vulnerable with your children and be honest with them, not in a overwhelming way, but in a loving way and like prayerful way of, okay, this is what I need to share with them, and God, show me what I need to say exactly. He's going to walk through them with it, just like he's walking with you through it. And so he's the great healer. He's so good and he's so faithful, and anything that's left in the dark is going to come to the light eventually anyway. And so we want to be the ones to be on the front line with our children, sharing these things with them instead of them finding out through the grapevine, and then getting hurt in the process.
Yeah, it's so good. It's good stuff, girl. So we're in the middle of unknown in our generation's calamity. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic with COVID-19. The world is crazy. The world that we live in now is not the same world that we lived in even when we were kids, and, you know, like sleepovers. And so we're anti-sleepover folks. I'm very protective of our kids. And, you know, even then you can't stop everything. But, you know, we live in a different world that can't parent the way we used to. And so what would you say, how do you, in the calamity of this world, how do you raise up young men and women, not just raise them, but raise them up for Jesus?
I think a huge part of that is being the example, by going to the example. Just like I said, being in your word and studying the person of Jesus, just knowing who he was, who he is, and what life looked like for him while he was living here on earth, and just try to mimic that as best as you can. I mean, just humility, just trying to be loving and kind in every way, treating them like they're little people, not like they're little hassles, you know, or the, you know, just give them your kids some mutual respect. Treating them the way you would want to be treated, you know, just common courtesy. And a lot of times in a lot of homes, that's, you know, people are kind to the person holding the door for them, but then they're treating their kid like garbage at home. And so, yeah, we just want to, love on them the way that we want to be loved on, you know?
Yeah, and in the junky world, you know, what you do as an example, like you said, how you deal with the world and the calamity of the world is what your kids watch and see. So if you're, you know, a right-wing Christian, left-wing Christian, and you're at home hollering at the TV and everything's about this or that, whatever, you get what I'm saying. But, you know, how you deal with the calamity, how you freak out or don't freak out in the middle of COVID-19, all these sessions, also, those are a big deal. Like, how you follow Jesus is how you raise people to follow Jesus. And so, there's a few odd questions I want to ask you, and then, how has been, you know, we have a lot of friends on here and a lot of our own church leaders that planted the church with us. And so how has being a ministry family, and we've always attributed doing urban church planting kind of like being missionaries, because, you know, our kids didn't have a lot of friends who were following Jesus. We were, you know, busted broke. We had to rely on, you know, it was difficult. And I know it's been difficult on our kids and us, but, you know, there's a million sides to that. But what about church planters, urban missionaries, ministry leaders, missionaries, pastor's wife, that's all been a part of your journey. How has that been, raising a family in the middle of that beautiful chaos?
It's been hard a lot of the times. I would say the biggest thing is just been not always having you around, you know, because I just, with what we had decided in our marriage and our parenting is that I was going to stay with the children and you were going to go off and work or, you know, do ministry in that way as when they were younger. And so I think early on in the early years of the kids, I felt very left out in some things and like I was missing out on something, but I wasn't. I was raising up mighty men and women in the home, you know, and that is always a huge reward. I mean, that's some of the most important things we can do is raise our children to love the Lord and follow Him with their whole hearts. And so, but God always stepped in, you know, like He was always there for me whenever, and He's been there for our kids, you know, on times when you were traveling or whatever, you know, just long days when you're ministering to other people, not that you ever didn't minister to our home because you always did that. But, I think that's been a hard thing. I think just time and commitment, you know, our children, both of us have been gone off and on, you know, throughout the years, ministering to other people. And so I think maybe there's been missed opportunities in ministering to our kids. And so, that's been a hard thing and that's been a sacrifice for them. But the time, the effort, the energy has been, a sacrifice, but it's worth it because we're following after the heart of God. We're furthering His kingdom and He's going to fill all that in that we feel like might be a void.
Yeah, I remember when we first became believers, we did experiencing God. Remember, and Blackaby said in one book, the Lord was leading him out to plant churches in northern Alberta or something like that. And he said something in there that, you know, I was driving trucks and, you know, we were busy and we were doing ministry, all this kind of stuff. And I remember he said, you know, one of his words were, I felt horrible not to be with my kids at night when I was out doing this. But I also heard the Lord say, when you're not there, I am. And I'm the Father that fills the voids in the mom. And so I think we've had to rely on that.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely haven't done it, especially my part, very well on the time home. But you've done a pretty amazing job as a mama doing that. And so, yeah, awesome. I hope you're encouraged if you just, God's just there. What would you say? This is just... What would you say, and I know you felt like this and you just kind of mentioned it, but speak directly to moms that are home. We live in a world, we're all about the empowerment of women and women going to work and doing all stuff amazing. But sometimes I feel like we kind of villainize moms who stay at home. And I think moms at home tend to feel sometimes like, and maybe villainize isn't a word, but it seems like we put less importance on just a mom that stays home. Speak to that a little bit about someone, the lady that's one of your sisters, one of these ladies' daughters at home that are feeling like they're pretty insignificant because they're, you know, they're raising their kids and not out doing ministry.
Right. I don't think anyone's just a mom. You know, there is no, I mean, you're just a mom. That you're a daughter of the King. You're an amazing Christ follower, and you have children who God has gifted you with. Then that's you know, if that's what He's given you, if that's your calling at this point in time until they're raised up and out in the world, then thrive in that, you know, bloom in the place where you're planted, you know, just take what He's given you. Those are precious gifts and those are precious years that, fly by. And so, yeah, just take advantage of, the calling that He's given you and, don't look at it as, just leftovers or just not enough, you know, but that it is where He's called you to be. And those kids could be the next who knows what, but more than anything, you need to instill in them that to love the Lord and to follow them with their whole hearts. And you'll just see amazing things happen when you do that.
Amen. Word. A couple different kind of questions. What transition has it been like to going to have adult children? So two of our oldest sons are 21 and 19. They still live at home while they're doing college and working things out. But what kind of transition has that been to be, you know, we were pretty hovering sometimes parents still are. And then as they got older and, you know, we kind of had to release them. I remember when Kale and Noah both went off to discipleship school in Newaygo, you know, that was not easy. And so and now that they're back and they're making decisions and we try not to butt in on everything as we can and let them be adults, still correct it when we need to. What would you say, what was that been like just coming into having adult, a lot of our families are starting to have adult kids in their homes.
Yeah. I think trusting the Lord that you've poured into them what you need to pour into them, and that he's pouring into them what he's going to pour into them, mm-hmm. and just trusting the Lord with that process. It's not always fluid and it's not always easy, but mm-hmm. just, you know, I think that cutting that apron string is important, because we have to let our children be not dependent on us, because we're not their savior. They need to be dependent on the Lord. And so if we've done anything, I hope it's that we've poured into our kids, go to God if you have this problem. Go to God if you're struggling with this. And if you need counsel from us, our door's wide open. And we're more than willing to do that. But we want their dependence to shift from us to the Lord completely. And that's that process throughout their whole life, is that we just want them to know they can trust Jesus with anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. So good. That laying down your kids is literally a sacrifice, because yeah. you got to remember that verbiage we use, my kids, our kids, they're his kids first.
Yeah.
And surrendering them over, man, that's not easy for anybody. And so many of you can attest to that, far beyond us, and some of you are dreadful of it coming. but it's just a part of the process. And, you know, you continue to parent, but you just continue, you become a mentor, and you walk side by side, right? And just kind of move forward. So yeah, that has not been easy. Like, so here's another question. We have four babies born the old-fashioned way, or the whatever you want to call it, traditional way we had them. And then our littlest baby, she's adopted. And so we've had her since before she came into the world. We felt like God put her on our heart. What is the, maybe the transition to, I mean, obviously they were not exactly the same, being a mom of these first four and then Naomi, our littlest one. So what has that been like, becoming an adoptive mom? So she's our 110,000% our little girl, but she was adopted. She came from another womb. And so what would you say, what was that been like?
Yeah, I think and you've touched on it in other sermons and stuff before, but just the image of God the Father adopting us into his family, and that I'm his daughter. Having Naomi has just been that prime example in our home, is that, you know, God chose to give her to us, and that we could be her parents is such a huge blessing. And just the process was really hard for me. It's taken a lot of growth in my faith and in my trust in the Lord with all things, because I thought after four kids we were done. And some of you might agree that, yeah, maybe you should have stopped at two or something, but I thought that we were done after four. And then whenever Rob proposed the idea of adopting, it was hard for me. It was hard, but it was, when I prayerfully addressed it and prayerfully went after God with it, I just knew in my heart that she was ours and we were supposed to do this thing. And he softened my heart over the years for her. I mean, she has such a hold of my heart. It's just amazing. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And so, yeah, I know it's different for different people, because some people adopt when they're older or don't have the privilege of having their baby from day one like we have. But I adore her, and she is just an amazing example of God's love and mercy for me, and God's love and just his adoptive heart for all of us. You know, he wants us all in his family. And so just to think about that your heart could stretch in such a way to love someone else, you know, it's just amazing to sort of think that God can pour that much love into me, was just huge.
I think we had that conversation with every kid.
Yeah.
After our first kid, like, oh, I love Kale so much. How do we, you know, how do we grow
love a second
love
one?
A second one?
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, the reservoir of God's love is never runs out. It just keeps pouring in and pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And it's been pretty, pretty amazing journey. And Naomi's quite cute as well as my other daughter. So I got three cute chicks in my house. So, so this is awesome. Like, you're doing great. Probably just our last question, but, life's done. Your deathbed, or you're with Jesus, and some weird, this is extra biblical, but you can look back at your life and look back at your kids, and look at their lives and how they've progressed and how they've become, how they've run after the heart of Jesus, how they did all these things. What is, and you looking back, just thinking about it now, and we talk about that a lot, hindsight living, when I get to heaven and when my road is done, what will things look like and how I parented, how I was a husband, a wife, a friend, a, you know, servant, you know, all these things. What would be your greatest win to see your kids doing that would just, that's really just a treasure to you?
Yeah. probably, definitely just loving the Lord and worshiping Him daily, trusting Him with their whole hearts, and passing it on to their kids. Just knowing that Jesus is their everything. And yeah, that would be the biggest thing. Mm. Yeah.
Amen to that. Woo. That's so good. That really is the purpose of our lives, is to, as followers and believers of Jesus, is to pass on Jesus even more so to the next generation. And God is changing legacies in our families, you know, and we're honored by what we've had and what God has used, but it's coming up a level with our kids and with our kids' kids. And you can ask our kids at any time. Our bar has been pretty high for who we talk about, who they marry, and relationships as teenagers. Like, we have a high bar, but it's for the very purpose of, and I think we've, before we just used to bark it, but I think we've gotten better at explaining it, that it's because we want the best for you. We want you to have this kind of marriage. We want you to, you know, even when we talk about, you know, who do we marry, Daddy, from the time they were little, our answers were, right, they got to love Jesus more than anything and want to go to the nations with you, and you have to find them somewhat cute, right? Our varying levels. Right. And so that's not an easy thing to, not an easy bar to find these days. And so, anyway, awesome job. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
You are the favorite mama on the face of the earth.
Thank
Beautiful.
You so much.
I am just dumbfounded by how God has used you and changed you over the years. Woo! As a mom. And just honored to be your partner in this deal. So you do me a favor, why don't you pray over our mamas today and just bless them.
Father God, we just thank you that you are the amazing parent, the ultimate parent that we can look to for all things, for all guidance, for all dependence, Lord. And I just pray that you are honored in each one of our lives, Lord. I pray a blessing over each mama, whether it's what any kind of mothering role that these women carry, Lord, I just pray a blessing over them, Lord, that you would strengthen them in their walks with you first and foremost, Lord, because we know we can't give away anything we don't have. And so I just pray that they would be strengthened in you, Lord, that you would equip them to do the work that you have laid out for them, Lord, that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit to accomplish work for your kingdom, Lord. We want to see everyone one for you. And we know that our lives are not for ourselves, but they're all to glorify you, Lord. So I just pray for each mama who's struggling today, for those of us who might be missing a parent today, missing their mother today, Lord. I just pray comfort and peace over them, Lord. I just pray you'd wrap your arms around them, Lord, and let them know how loved they are. And I just pray for those who are struggling maybe in relationships with their children, Lord, that you would heal, that you would just bring a great amount of healing, Lord, that nothing is beyond you, nothing is out of control for you, Lord. And so I just pray that you would bring peace in those homes, that you bring harmony in those homes, and help, and just bring back the wayward children, Lord. Mm-hmm. I just pray that you would convict them even now, Lord, that they would just hear the name Jesus and know they need to come running home, Lord. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who feel like we're inadequate or not enough, Lord, let us just depend on you all the more. Mm-hmm. You are everything, and you are all we need. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you so much. Mm-hmm. It's in Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.